Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling. You are listening to Video Games to the Max.
All right, so we are going here to talk about, well, I don't know how much there is to talk about with the Capcom post show here. I'm, of course, your host, Sean Garmer, here with me, Mr. Randy Isbell.
Hello.
Paul Leeser is back.
Heyo.
And Daniel Anderson joining us here.
Hello.
As well. Kyle had to do some things. And we were having someone else on, but apparently he is having technical difficulties at the moment. So, but I don't really know what to say here. Like, Capcom has games we know that are coming. Obviously, maybe they weren't really prepared for this kind of thing. I'm seeing rumors going around that people are saying that perhaps the ESA put some kind of stipulation in that some of these companies had to do shows even if they didn't really want to keep physical spots or for next year or whatever. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. Just it's speculation as much as everybody else. But Capcom, just very much like we saw with Gearbox, Square at least told you they were going to do, you know, these kind of things throughout the year. I hope Bandai Namco is not like this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. These companies that don't normally hold these things, and then they do one, and it feels like we didn't need it, mm-hmm. You know? And I don't know how you felt, Randy, but like all this stuff could have been, could have been a Twitter post.
All of it.
Yeah.
Especially the Resident Evil stuff. And Capcom has been doing more of that stuff that you're talking about with Ubisoft and their own little videos. There were several videos or events leading up to Resident Evil 8 and the build-up for that. And I just want to touch on that ESA rumor. If that's the truth, if I'm any of these companies, I give them the middle finger and say, I don't want to be at E3 anyways.
Mm-hmm.
E3 is already dying, and now you're going to force me to embarrass ourselves with a press conference that we have nothing to show for. And I guess that's our fault anyways, because even the four of us right before Capcom, before we went on the air, we're going, what do you expect? It's like, well, they said they're going to show this game, this game, and this game, but they have to have a one more thing, right? Well, yeah. No, they said this is what we're showing, and that's exactly what they showed. But we are so accustomed to E3 and all of these press conferences going, oh, yeah, hold on, one more thing. And obviously, if that ESA rumor is true, Capcom's like, fine, we'll give you 30 minutes of stuff that, what, we can waste 2 minutes going, hey, I mean, the DLC that you know is coming is coming, and here's 7 minutes of Monster Hunter DLC that we will spread out,
right?
And now here's 10 minutes of gameplay for Ace Attorney, because that's what we got, and we need 30 minutes, so here you go. So
they could have showed any other game but Ace Attorney that was a little bit quicker.
But again, I mean, if that rumor is true with the ESA, I definitely don't put any blame on Capcom for it. Again, part of the blame has to go on us for, once again, a company going, hey, this is what we're showing. You're like, no, they have to be hiding something.
Yeah.
No, we're not hiding anything. Well, you son of a... No, it's... It was pretty boring and a waste of 30 minutes for sure. But
right,
what are you gonna do?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point too. With E3 is dying, so if you have big stuff, you can save it for something else that actually matters a little bit more, like Tokyo Game Show or something else. So, it was a waste of time. That was 30 minutes we don't get back. And you're right. Like E3 used to be about having big reveals at the end, and we were talking about it during the thing too, where you had Street Fighter being the focus of their esports thing. That would be a great lead in to show Street Fighter 6. They don't have Street Fighter 6, which is, that's fine, you know, but it there wasn't a lot here, and so I think we're probably going to be stammering over our words a lot because there's not really a lot to talk
about. Yeah, I mean, like Monster Hunter Stories was the only one that had that's coming that they really had a point to show, and it's a game that if you like Monster Hunter, you like it. I think it, you know, as for me that likes RPGs, I like the first one. Mm-hmm. I bought it when it was on a sale. I didn't buy it, you know, when it came out because I didn't know what to expect. I've tried Monster Hunter before, and it's just really complicated, you know, and you have to have it. It's not fun when it's just yourself.
Right.
It's a much better game when you have a lot more. I mean, Daniel, I'm sorry you haven't talked here.
I mean, yeah. My feelings are pretty much the same. I would have been happy even with smaller announcements of stuff that people didn't expect.
Yeah.
Such as with Resident Evil, if they said, hey, in addition to DLC, we're working on a VR mode so you can play it in first person like you did with Biohazard. I mean, crazy. You don't have to show anything. You just make a little announcement that makes it worthwhile sitting through recaps of stuff or sitting through with Monster Hunter DLC after DLC after DLC. Hey, you can pay for sunglasses for your character or leather pants for your character. Let's have
the leather pants made me laugh pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, let's just have something that it doesn't have to be big to be. You don't have to do a big announcement. You don't have to do anything big. You don't have to show anything. Just say kind of in the tune of, hey, we're working on DLC for this. Make an announcement. Just say, hey, we are working on this. We'll show you more when it's ready.
Yeah. And I think as far as like, obviously, as somebody that played Resident Evil 7 in VR, playing Resident Evil 8 in VR would be absolutely insane. But that is, if that is something that Capcom is interested in, I don't think they can make that announcement until Sony finally reveals the next VR machine. So their hands are tied there anyways, because that could be something that Sony shows whenever they do their summer thing. That could be something that they have a special event in fall if the rumors are true that they are working on a second one. Mm-hmm. So, that rumor actually kind of feels true to me, because Capcom felt like, I mean, Sean, you brought up Monster Hunter that needed to be shown because that's coming out. Ace Attorney needed to be shown too. That is coming out shortly.
Right, but that could have easily been a 2-minute trailer.
That first trailer we got is all we needed.
All you need.
But yeah. They had to fill the 30 minutes. It would have been interesting because I listen or I watch Maximilian from time to time. He's a big fighting game fan. I want to say that Street Fighter is one of those games that is still coming out with DLC characters from time to time.
So they had Dan not too long ago.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting maybe that was going to be their one last thing here. By the way, Leon Kennedy is in Street Fighter or something. But, but again, I mean, obviously they don't need to fabricate something if it's not there.
No, this definitely feels like Capcom just did something because either they were told they needed to or they just did it. They just said, hey, well, why don't we use 30 minutes to promote all the games that either we have content coming for, and like Resident Evil, I think was a big like. Now you don't even show anything at all, and just tell us, "Oh well, we're working on DLC," and like that's the thing I have with some of these conferences. Some of these conferences of just, you know, if you don't have it actually just shows the people that are used to doing this every year. They know what they're doing.
Right.
Like I totally expect Nintendo is going to have one more thing. Like, cause they know they do those with the regular directs all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. So imagine at E3, they know. Right. And they have Smash Bros characters they could do at the beginning, at the end as well, that they could just, you know, throw out there to excite people. Ubisoft did it. Xbox did it. Mm-hmm. Right. They're the ones that are used to doing this. Mm-hmm. Square Enix doesn't do it all the time, and they really were about, these are the games we're doing, and we did them. That's what Capcom did, but Capcom, like, other than stories, you didn't, like, they had to spend a lot on stories and the Ace Attorney thing, because they didn't have anything that's coming recent, you know, in the next whatever, to tell you. After Ace Attorney, I don't really know if they have anything the rest of the year, and even if they do, they're maybe not sure if it's going to come this year or not. So, yeah, I mean,
again, I'm curious with the whole ESA thing, if they had to fill 30 minutes, because again, Warner Brothers has games that they could show, but they're not ready to be.
No, Warner Brothers has nothing.
But they just switched it out. So they're doing, they did Back 4 Blood for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So why couldn't we just get a 10 minute or 20 minute thing of Capcom? Because again, Warner Brothers is not ready to show whatever that Gotham Knights game is or the Harry Potter stuff. They're just not ready to show. Right. And they didn't want to like have crazy expectations. So a couple of days before they went, you know what? We only have Back 4 Blood. We're only showing the PvP stuff. It's a 10 minute thing. Come hang out if you want.
To be fair to Warner Brothers, they don't really do conferences.
Well, neither does Capcom. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Could Capcom have went, you know, we really don't have anything. So we're doing a Monster Hunter thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a 10-minute thing. So if you're a big Monster Hunter fan, come hang out. If not, then we got nothing for you.
It's really wild that they wouldn't do that, right? Because there's nobody you have to play to in person. And most of these are probably pre-taped too. So why wouldn't you just, you know what you have, just show what you have. And that's fine. Like, you know, especially, I don't imagine people want to be sitting around. I imagine there are still people who want to sit around all day and watch E3. But I certainly don't anymore. Like, you know.
I mean, the way that they have done this programming, they still did it that way. I mean, you watch these live streams, all of these showcases are in one stream, one after the other, after the other, after the other, and they don't stop. It's not like they have each one of them have their own thing.
Exactly.
Like, they're all stuck together as if it's one channel going on the entire time between IGN, GameSpot, and then the E3 thing itself. So, like, they seemingly wanted to make it that way with the small amount of people that the small amount of booths or companies that came this time. Like, you know, I don't know how much more there is to say. This is probably, I would say, because at least they showed us something from stories. And even if it was too long, they still showed you something from the Ace Attorney thing. And there was, at least they let you know that there's Resident Evil DLC happening. I don't know, but it's probably just as bad I think it's a little bit better than Gearbox, because at least they showed you something. Mm-hmm. Tiny Tina has already been shown like three times by the time I got to Gearbox.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's in that D category probably for sure of just, I feel bad because Randy is a big Resident Evil fan and Capcom person. And, you know, there's games that I like from them too. I'm not trying to hate. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's unfortunate. And that's what happens some of these times, you know, with some of these. So I think it's a D for me. I don't know if anybody's going to go higher or lower on.
No, I'm going to go lower. I mean, again, I feel bad for Capcom they had nothing to show. They had two games that we already knew that were coming here in a couple months, and they had to stretch them out. So, I mean, it's an F. I mean, they showed us nothing new.
Yeah, it's the worst one I've seen so far. I haven't watched Gearbox yet, but this wasn't better than what Square gave us either. So, this is bottom end of the barrel for sure.
I'd probably go with the D just because they did try, I guess, and nothing. It wasn't anything that was already seen elsewhere for the most part. I kind of wonder, are outside of the big three, if Sony ever comes back, are we going to have any big reveals at E3 anymore?
I mean, Redfall we didn't know what the actual game was.
Right.
But that was the first one out of the entire. I mean, to be fair, we'd never seen Avatar, really. Mm-hmm. We just known that it was in development.
Well, and the question is it because of we're coming off COVID, or is it because this is what E3 is turning into?
I think it's
another year to know, really.
Right. Yeah, I think it's both.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Hello, Mr. Comer. How are you doing, man?
Hey, Mr. Garmer. I am not bad. Just fudging the tail end of my work day to come in and talk video games for a little bit.
Sorry that this isn't one of the best ones to talk about here.
You know what? I give them a mercy D, like the same kind of D that I passed high school chemistry with my senior year, because number one, they didn't no show it. They at least handed in some work, so we have to give them credit for that. I don't know that merited an entire 25-minute segment, and for fuck's sake, don't close out your E3 presser with esports. God, and I say that as an esports guy. Don't make that your closer. Mm-hmm. I mean, open with that. Stick it somewhere in the middle or as a little bit of a cool down before your big reveal.
Monster Hunter Stories probably should have been the last thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I would say, yeah, because that's really the only full-fledged original that we're getting, because otherwise they announced a localization, some DLC, a multiplayer launch, and then a bunch of Street Fighter shit, and not even an update on the development of Street Fighter 6, because we know that 5 is coming down to the end of its lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we didn't even get a cursory update as to that. But here's the other reason I give it a mercy D. You know, I think that this year's E3, from what I've been able to keep up on, I was out of town on family business all weekend, but from what I've been able to keep up on and catch up on, the theme for this year's E3 might as well be, now where were we? everybody is trying to kind of pick up on what they were working on before the everything, and just trying to kind of ease it forward as much as we can. But it's also a reminder that, yes, we are getting back to a semblance of normalcy. We're reemerging out into the world, but it's not going to be until...
But that's just here. In all other parts of the world, it's still raging, especially in Japan, you know?
Well, yeah, so, like, yeah.
Where Capcom is from, where Square Enix is from, where, you know, Nintendo, I'm sure, is going to have some kind of thing on in the front of the direct saying it due to COVID, whatever, you know.
Like, well, yeah, exactly. Homes. Exactly. It's a reminder that it's going to be at least probably 2022 before everything feels pretty close to where it was pre-pandemic.
Right.
So I'm a little more have to cut a lot of devs some slack this year, but still, even then, if you're going to take up your entire segment, you gotta bring something a little more to the table than that. Or as Yong Ya pointed out in his live reaction, more than Take Two giving a diversity in gaming TED talk.
I listened to it on mute. I just had the stream going all day. I've been playing Ratchet all day trying to finish that game.
Right on.
Take Two was going on, and I messaged Sean before, and he's like, oh, it's the first time. I'm like, cool. I don't have to unmute it. That's cool. But anybody out there, we have been doing Zoom and online talks like this for over a year. Fake green screens don't need to be used anymore. They don't look good, and the moment you move, we see all this craziness going on, and that's all I can see. Everything you say after that,
yeah,
I don't understand. Either buy yourself an actual green screen or just show your background.
Yeah,
it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's like, are you really gonna sit in this solitary position the entire time you talk? Like, you're not. It's not natural. Like, don't do that fake green screen stuff. Like, it's so weird. But I mean, look, I think there's a time and place for that kind of thing. And when E3 is in person, that's fine, because you have a bazillion things going on when E3 is in person, and you only have so many people that go to all these interviews and panels and whatever.
Right.
Like, when you're making it a thing at E3, I don't know if this was the way, you know, like. It wasn't. I mean, I get it. Take-Two probably just didn't want to show anything, because, I mean, everybody's going to be like, where's GTA 6, GTA 6, GTA 6? Like, they're not going to give a crap about anything else they show.
Right. Look, so, let's face it. We're not getting GTA 6 for a long fucking time until the GTA 5 ATM stops spitting out money.
Oh, it's not even that. It's not to mention, number one of the Housers left. I mean, we're talking about one of the major, major people that dealt with making GTA. Like, so I don't think they still have found a really, like, if you can even replace him, replacement for somebody like that. So, like, I think people are going to keep waiting. And obviously having the online play doesn't help, because it just, we're about to get a remastered version of a remastered version of a remastered version on the current gen. So, I mean, what's the point at that? You know, so like, let's look ahead to the one, because I, you know, Bandai Namco does have stuff to show. They could definitely, they could do a gameplay reveal of Elden Ring. They could show more Scarlet Nexus. They have other Tales of Arise. They have stuff they could show, but we kind of know what it is, right? Nintendo, I think, is interesting because we know Breath of the Wild 2 is sitting there.
Yeah.
Are they going to show it?
They gotta, right? 35th anniversary, like they have to.
Yeah, are you going to do anything else? Do you think they're going to do anything else at 35th anniversary? I mean, like, why are we not getting, like, a collection like Mario? That seems...
Well, because the Mario collection was garbage. And I was stupid enough, I bought the damn thing.
I bought the thing because of the scarcity. That's the only reason I bought it.
Yeah.
Never, ever put it past Nintendo to be completely oblivious to what their fans want.
Right.
So we're... there's...
Don't make me get into that Final Fantasy 1 through 6 crap again.
No, stop. Mother 3 win?
So, honestly, with the way they treated Mario, Zelda's going to get the same thing. We're going to get a Zelda 35 weird multiplayer game because they can't get off the Tetris 99 bandwagon. We'll get some weird collection of older games that are worse than the GameCube collection that they gave out for that promotional.
Do you think it'll be like the same... three games that have been on the Wii U, or you think it's, well, we're getting Skyward Sword separately. So right. You think it's like Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, or do you think it's some of the older games? No, it's
probably
or...
like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and Zelda 2. It'd be the weirdest collection you've ever seen.
Or they port all the Game Boy games to console for some reason.
Yeah, well, that would be really weird. Swords
and all that stuff.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with like Minish Cap or Phantom Hourglass or whatever if they wanted to bring those. But
Nintendo honestly has me completely confused as what's going to happen tomorrow, just for the fact that all the rumors swore up and down 100% going to happen that the Switch Pro is going to get revealed before E3, and then Zelda would be revealed at E3 to launch alongside the Switch Pro, and that didn't happen. So now do we get the Switch Pro tomorrow? Is that just really not a thing and everyone just continues to wish it was? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it is only 40 minutes and they are doing a 3-hour treehouse.
Yeah, like it's
afterwards.
It's, they have to be showing something from Zelda. Like they just have to. Like, there's no reason to do 3 hours of treehouse.
I mean, remember that they revealed stuff at treehouse before. Like, remember the Samus Returns?
Yep.
They just randomly said, oh, hey, there's a Samus DS game or 3DS game getting made, and we're showing it off right now. Like,
well, yeah, but you're talking about a treehouse that's longer than most Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of games that could show. So, yeah, I mean,
the only thing I can almost guarantee is we'll get another Smash character reveal.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Any
and
prediction?
Then they'll show it off for an hour on the treehouse.
Yeah, that you can probably guarantee that at least 30 minutes of that treehouse is whatever the character is. If they don't show two, they could show two.
Yeah, they could show the right. There's two left, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they could show off the rest of the season.
I've only recently started playing Smash. Have they run out of Fire Emblem characters yet?
No,
no. They definitely could have more Fire Emblem. I mean, I hope to God not, because the terrible atrocity of the internet will just come crashing down again.
That's the thing with Fire Emblem games is there's permadeath, so they have to have so many characters so you can still finish the game.
Yep.
And then there's multiple games. They will never run out of Fire Emblem characters.
No, it's impossible. I say that as somebody who likes Fire Emblem. Like, it is impossible to run out of characters.
Anybody want to give a prediction as to what we could see of a Smash character? I mean, it's...
You know, I could see maybe an Overwatch crossover.
You think so?
Wild.
That would be.
Yeah, I could see maybe. Yeah, I could see him maybe deciding to bring like Tracer into Smash. Tracer or Reinhardt.
That'd be nuts.
Yeah, it'd either be Tracer or Lucio. Those are two they always try to cross all the time.
And you know what? They would probably fit best within the mechanics too.
Mm-hmm.
Those hyper well along the same lines. If you're going with hyper mobile characters, you could also add Genji.
Yeah, Genji or Winston or D.Va.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody with a metric fuck ton of mobility.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll keep saying Crash. It'll never happen. But I'll keep
I think we can rule that one out.
That's about as wild as Sora at this point.
I've been sitting there trying to think of what Zelda character is it in there, because it is the 35th anniversary, but I think
yeah, Zelda and Link.
Yeah. It could do Ganondorf again.
Yeah, who's the old dude from Breath of the Wild that is like your that goes to the tutorial with you? Put him in it. I don't know.
Just handing out stuff. It's dangerous to go alone.
I mean, they have, like, I can't. I feel like one of these two that are left has to be somebody major that people have wanted. Like, I could see Master Chief be one of them if there's any kind of relation to why we've seen switches behind Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond at different talks before. You know, I don't know, Daniel, you have any thoughts on?
I mean, I don't have any crazy off the wall guesses, or at least not for Smash. I'll say we'll get some update on Star Fox during the conference tomorrow. There's my off the wall random thing I think we'll probably see.
Well, you think, you know, the one game that everybody kind of forgets is also having an anniversary is Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
But Nintendo's forgot that too. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like they've forgotten about Star Fox too, to be honest.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not like the last Star Fox was this. I mean, they did put him into that, whatever that other Ubisoft, this Atlantis thing. With the last ditch at Toys for Life that was ever made that didn't work well. That game's fine as far as being an okay Star Fox game, but they really have to like rethink what they want with that as far as that goes. I mean, I'm still hoping for an F-Zero here, and that's probably not going to happen either. So, I don't know. I mean, Nintendo is – that's the interesting thing about Nintendo. Like, we know some of the things that are coming – hopefully it's not like we already know the Pokemons are coming, unless you have a lot to show of like Arceus, which is the open world one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't show it. I mean, Bayonetta 3, we have heard nothing about for what was that, like Game Awards? God. Like,
yeah, it's been like 2 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, 2018. So, I mean, that thing's sitting there.
Wasn't there a I'm a PlayStation guy, so of course I would forget this. Wasn't there a Prime game a Metroid Prime game we were promised?
Yeah, Metroid Prime 4, but they had to redo it with Retro. Mm-hmm. So they basically had to start from scratch, very much like we find out today that Everwild is starting from scratch again, which means we won't see that till 2024. Because to be fair, when they announced it, they were like, we don't know what this game is, but here it is. So, like, really weird that you would just announce it like that, but that was rare at the time. So,
let's go around real quick. I give one just off the wall prediction. Mm-hmm. Let's gamble a little bit. Let's see if one of us can somehow be right, because it's Nintendo, and you never know. You could be right. You could be wrong.
I'm gonna say they'll do something with F-Zero. Just to.
Boy, you are a dreamer, buddy. Oh,
my God. Hey, Sean understands this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason why they didn't show FF 1 through 6 was because Nintendo wanted to reveal it themselves that it's coming to Switch. Mm-hmm. That's me hoping.
There you go. Well, like, and they'll actually show that they look better and it's a different version. Yeah. That'd be great.
Man, they seem to be done with Three Houses as far as that development goes for Fire Emblem. So I'll say they're already going to have another Fire Emblem ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Colin?
That goes perfectly with the reveal of the two new Smash characters that are both from Fire Emblem. That'd be great.
Okay, so we're sticking to completely off the wall predictions.
Something that you want to see that maybe you know is probably not in the realm, but would be cool, you know.
Okay. You know what? I would say some kind of Metroid anniversary pack. I would want to say without the Mario 3D limited availability bullshit, but of course I know that's exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They'll give like a 6 month window, and then they're going to Disney Vault that shit. But I would imagine that what it'll probably include, like, I don't know, the first few NES games, Super Metroid, and then the Primes.
I think you're hoping for too much there. I think if we just get the Primes, I'd be happy.
Know what? I think that would make some people seriously happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to just remaster Super Metroid, I'd be totally fine with just that.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they did with Link's Awakening, so yep. Why not?
Why not?
We do that as well.
We get that. Game's done quick. Going to be lit.
Yeah. Right? Daniel, you have any...
So I'll say do Advanced Wars game, and one of the two remaining Smash characters will be a character from Advanced Wars.
There you go.
That is really dreaming there. That yeah. Nintendo remembered that Advanced Wars exists. I mean,
your Advanced Wars was that one that we saw a couple days ago. That was
yeah.
What was that? The Neo Geo game or whatever that was turned into a strategy game, Metal Arms or Metal something. What game was that, Sean?
Metal Slug?
Oh, Metal Slug. The Metal Slug Tactics, yeah.
Metal Slug Tactics was your Advance Wars game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is true. That's like the closest you're going to get from an actual known property.
Mine, I could see happening if it was run by anybody but Nintendo. But when we're talking about anniversaries with Zelda and Metroid, it is the 25th anniversary of the N64.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Could we
adding that to Switch Online?
Either add it to Switch Online, which will get 6 random ass games, and they'll never add to it again, like they've been doing with the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo. Or you finally get that N64 Mini. I think one of those things will happen.
The only good thing about 64 is they only had like so many games.
297.
So eventually they have to add the ones you actually want.
Right.
See, when it comes to the 64, I think the bigger problem is, and guy, metaphorically, I should duck and cover after I say this. It's one of those systems that's really fondly remembered, but if you go back, I think it might have some of the fewest games that actually hold up really well.
Yeah,
over time.
Well, and there's a lot of stuff.
Generation.
The PS1, to be fair. Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole generation of transitioning from 2D to 3D, though. Like, yeah.
Entirely fair.
Yeah, but I do agree. The good game library is thin compared out of those 297. You want to play like 29, maybe.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
I have left. See if I can get it over there. I'm a bit of a Nintendo 64 person. I have a bunch. Mm-hmm.
I think the 64. A lot of the good games are co-op.
Right.
Which they're not going to give you all 4 controllers to be able to play. So are you going to give us 4 ports and then you buy the other controllers on your own? I mean, like, how is that going to work?
That would be amazing. And they're going to have all the different colors and you can buy them all.
Yeah, you can get the atomic purple 64.
You know what? I will tell you right now, if we're talking barely in the realm of possibility, in fact, probably not even probable or plausible at all, but one that I guarantee would make Twitter run brown with excitedly shit pants. Either a remaster or just a re-release of Eternal Darkness.
Oh yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Actually, one that I'll throw out there that I'm stealing from somebody off of Kinda Funny. I can't remember who came up with this prediction. But Rare Replay comes to the Nintendo Switch with the Donkey Kong games.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that'd be cool, yeah.
That would be really good.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo is like the last big one that I think we're all excited to. What could they show? What are they going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, but I think also, like, don't get yourself so hyped because probably about half your
everything
stuff
you've said here is not, none of this is happening.
Yeah, right. None of that's happening. Like,
it's Mario Sports and Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games in Tokyo all day tomorrow, I bet. But
yeah, Mario Golf for 20 minutes.
And yep. Yep.
Like, yeah, I just hope there is a few things that we haven't really seen a lot of or just new. But knowing Nintendo the way that they have been very cautious this year, Nintendo also doesn't like, I think after the Metro Prime thing, they are not going to be announcing a bunch of games that are super far out anymore.
I hate it when devs do that, so I really hope they don't.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, at least Starfield is sort of following a track. So,
yeah. It is. I think the best announcements are probably going to come from EA Direct and PlayStation's presentations after E3.
I don't know about EA. They have a lot. There's so many times EA, you say that they're gonna have the best guy, and they just totally disappoint
you. But you know what? I know you can't really give them full credit for it, because you got to kind of put this off on Respawn and BioWare respectively. But there are some things for which they've really knocked it out of the park over the last couple of years. Jedi Fallen Order was great. Apex has continued to knock it out of the park. The Mass Effect Legendary Edition, enough said. So they might have an ace or two up their sleeves. It wouldn't surprise me. We'll probably get some kind of, I don't know, a fucking Madden reveal or something.
Oh, of course.
Fallen Order 2 reveal.
Yeah.
What reveal? What two?
Fallen Order 2. That would be nice. Yeah.
I'd love a Fallen Order 2 reveal. Yes, please.
Right, they got to talk about Dragon Age 4 again at some point, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
whatever other thing that they're doing. I mean, are they going to work on, is there a Mass Effect 4?
I don't think we get a Mass Effect 4 update quite yet.
I mean, the good thing is at least they nailed that Legendary Edition and people are enjoying it. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's really, yeah, absolutely.
Well, did you want it to, Randy, since you're almost at the end of Ratchet,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about basically being at the end of the game and like basically you can pretty much talk about like your feelings on the whole game at this point.
It's game of the year. Even with Resident Evil Village, as much as I love that game, the only thing I am going to be debating before I write the review is whether I give it a 9 or a 10. I am so close to a 10, nice. But I've only ever given one 10 on our website, and so I try not to, but there's almost nothing I don't like about this game. And I think it is even ending at a point where I'm like, okay, we've gotten to a point where if we keep going and they keep adding more levels, it's going to feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over. So a lot of people are going to complain, oh, it's like 10 hours, 12 hours long. With platformers, if you go any longer than that, you feel like you're just repeating yourself over and over. So I think they have the perfect pace to it. I love Rivet's character, and they've added a lot of story to this, which has not been in a lot of the other Ratchet & Clank games that I have played. It's just so wonderfully done. It's and the only thing that I will be a little disappointed in is just the hype that we had as far as the way that the dimensions worked. They are very on rail when you're switching between world and world. It's everything else that you're just moving along the map. So I was kind of hoping you'd be in one world and you'd be able to pull up a rift and then just jump right into the other world. It's not really the case. It's usually in a chase sequence. It kind of shows off its power and switches you between worlds for a second or two. But other than that, I mean, this game is so good.
Paul, I mean, we've had other people on talk about Mass Effect, but like, I know you're a big Mass Effect fan as well. Like, how have you been enjoying that?
Yeah,
like,
I took a break because I powered through 1 and 2 pretty quickly, to be honest. But the most worked, 2 felt largely the same, but 1 was almost a completely different experience, which I really appreciated. Mm-hmm.
Which is good, because 1 was far and away the one that needed the most TLC.
Right. It was pretty rough. And I'm playing it on PC this go around instead of Xbox, which helped a lot too. Right. But it was a much, much smoother experience. Mm-hmm. I felt like graphically there was like faces are still weird. I don't know what happened to BioWare to be able to mess up faces so much, but some of them don't really feel human at times.
Okay. That being said, I have to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is really specific, but from what you saw in Mass Effect 1, is it just me, or are the Solarian eyes, after being redone, almost hauntingly gorgeous?
I love them. I think the aliens look incredible. It's the humans that look like trash.
Oh, right, right. But it was just the Salarians in particular.
The texture of Azari's skin is like, I didn't know to talk about skin, but it looks really good. The Salarians actually look slimy, which is cool. There's a lot of like really nice touches that they did overall. I'm excited to get to 3 whenever I'm done with Chivalry 2 taking over.
You know, it really plays like a version of the game that would be made today if they were just starting the entire series from the beginning with the tools and the understanding that they have right now.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's still my favorite too. So I really love the RPG elements that they have in that they kind of got away from in 2 or 3 where they became more shooters. But 2 was still fun. The best part of 2 is still all the side characters, the stories. To me, but some of the DLC did not age well either, unfortunately, which is a problem, but it's still a great experience the whole way around. I'm 3 should be just as fun, I'm sure. I haven't played that since it initially released, so
I will die bleeding and shitting myself on the hill that Mass Effect 3 gets far more shit than it deserves.
You know, I was kind of in the middle on that. The journey of playing through 3 was incredible, and the ending just fell flat. And it'll be interesting to see if that still holds true. It was 5 years later, whenever.
You know what? I've always believed that the ending felt very apropos, and that the Citadel DLC was just a beautiful, beautiful curtain call.
Yeah, I've never played the Citadel DLC, so I'm.
My advice for you is save it until like the very last thing you do before the end game, before you leave on those last 2 missions.
Right.
And also make sure that you explore and you do everything that you can that's associated with the apartment and the interactions, because there's more there, I think, than most people even begin to realize.
I've watched, there's some videos out there on YouTube of people talking about how since they've re-released all 3 of them together now, that you can see how all your choices span across all 3 of them and without the time gaps or anything like that. And for 3, like stuff you're doing in 1, as far as just like simple collection missions have an effect on some of the side quests you can do in 3, which is incredible. That's really all you can ask for whenever you tell a story that long. And
that
crosses over that much.
When time has allowed lately, I've been streaming Mass Effect 1, and as I've been going through, and just nothing scripted, nothing showy, just me and my random off-the-cuff fanboy impressions as I play. And I keep coming across a few missions here and there where I'll just get positively giddy while I'm playing, because I know how it's going to pay off across the next few games. Like, I just finished the lunar base mission. In the first game, and I was so excited. I said, okay, I'm trying so hard not to drop little hints, but trust me, stick with me right to the end of Mass Effect 3, and this mission right here is going to be quite possibly the most. You have no idea what this is setting up. This random ass, forgettable, might even skip doing it the first time you played through the game side mission.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's good that you guys are enjoying that game. I think I'm trying to figure out what this comment in the chat was, if they're just being ironic or there was actually Capcom news aside from this terrible showcase. Oh. But no, I'm not seeing anything. Honestly, it's weird because today was kind of a really light day when you think about it. Like, the only other things that were worth that were like really shown was Halo multiplayer, which I thought looked really good. The adding the grappling hook and the Razorback vehicle. So now there's 2 vehicles, not only the Warthog, but the Razorback as well, which has the hammer that's on the back of it. So now you can just grab that hammer and you can fit 4 people on that thing instead of the 2 with the Warthog or the 3. So, like, that's cool, too. I love the fact that there's, like, you can customize everything now. It's customized the inside of the Spartan and everything on the outside, the voice, your personal AI, all that stuff. All that stuff is great. Like, and they only did it for 10 minutes, so they didn't sit there and show us a ton of stuff and have us spend a lot of time with that. But they gave us a great glimpse, so I'm excited, and it's free. And the battle pass is not like the other battle passes. It stays with you the entire time, so you can decide which battle pass you want to, you know, continue to put progression towards. So if you want to buy this one battle pass, you don't want to buy the next one, you can. So it's not like you continuously have to keep doing that.
So do you think we might be on the cusp of a Halo renaissance here? Or at the very least, kind of a return to form?
I think so, to be honest. I haven't played since 4. This one has me really, really excited to try to get in there and, you know, throw down $60 again for Halo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that if the campaign can nail it, it seems that they went with a more simpler story this time after the convoluted mess that was the other one. So, you know, it looks like this is going to be a good Halo, I hope. And yeah, I watched the Freedom Games thing. I thought they had some really good games. If you like Pokemon, they have like a Pokemon that's very look-alike called Coromon. It's like the old Game Boy ones, but it's like if Pokemon and Zelda had a marriage, because there's puzzles that you actually have to go through. It's actually really cool. Like, it's Pokemon, and there's like puzzles you have to go through, and then they also have like different leveling up systems where you can actually pick the skills that they learn, and not just the moves or whatever, but like actual skills. Like, if you want to update their HP by 1. Or up by 2 or whatever, you know, you could do that every like second or third level, and it has an MP system instead of the like the where you have 25 times you can use that move. You have a certain amount of MP, and you actually have to figure out, you know, whether you want to use, you know, what moves you got to use and all that. So a lot of strategy to that game, and I thought the art looked really good for being an indie game. So I'm definitely going to be. There's a demo out there that has a lot of it on Steam. It's free. But if you're a Pokemon fan, definitely I would say check that out. And there's some other stuff I thought was really Dreamscapers. It's like a roguelike where it's like Returnal, where you keep doing that Groundhog Day thing. But basically, when you die, you go back to sleep because you're in your bed and you're apparently having a dream, and then you wake up. And you start the roguelike, you know, the run, and then when you die, you're basically going back to sleep again. So, like, I thought it was really good. So, there was some interesting stuff today. That little E3 indie showcase too was pretty good. It's like 15 minutes, I would say. You know, if you have time, go watch that. But this was a really light day, and then it's like Capcom was supposed to be the big hitter. They gave you nothing to talk about either. So, I guess
I would have thought for sure we were going to get like a first look at the Resident Evil 4 remaster.
I think they did say that was far off in development, and I'm sure they made it to where that's 2023 now or something.
That's true, but I will also cop that. You know, I'll admit, Capcom has arguably spoiled the world over the past few years with this penchant they've developed for resuscitating dead or at least dormant franchises. So, I mean, my expectations might have been a little bit inflated, but then again, we also got Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes within about a year of each other. So,
but that was, they also revealed that they were making those at the same time. They were supposed to be a package.
Yeah.
Weren't those originally on the same engine too, right? It's not like the giant leap forward that 4 was.
Right, Randy?
I've stopped paying attention.
totally fair.
Okay.
I don't blame you.
Okay, I've moved on to the next show I need to get ready for. And,
well, that's fine. And that's,
mentally, it's like Capcom has just killed it for me.
Yeah, what do we have next?
It's Nintendo tomorrow and Bandai Namco, and that's it. And then there's a big gap between the two because Nintendo's at 12, and they have that. Bandai Namco waited all the way to the end of the treehouse to do their thing. They did not want to do it in the middle. Probably because they also do so much correlation with Nintendo. There's respect there. So, so it's like at 12 Eastern, 9 for Randy over there. And then there's a big break till like 5:30 for Ben and Emco. So, and then that's it. That's E3. That's it. So, and then their awards, which are dumb.
Yeah, dumb.
Like, I hate those. I hate the whole everybody goes around and puts their sticker on this game, on that game. Like,
I would just as soon watch Jim Sterling's. Or that's right, he's not Jim anymore. I forget what his chosen new name is. Yeah. Shit, it's really slipping my mind. Stardust. Stardust annual best and worst of E3 awards.
I mean, there was a lot of good stuff. I feel like, and we'll talk about this like on tomorrow's post show of just what was your best and worst of E3. But I feel like aside from Xbox, the indies are what's been killing it.
Absolutely.
For E3.
Mm. Like, I don't know if it counts, but the Hooded Horse demos that I had of their three games.
Showed that off at the indie showcase today. Yeah.
Falling Frontier is a PC game I'm really looking forward to now that I wasn't really expecting to. And also Terra Invicta. I really like the battle system that they showed me during that. It's really reminiscent of the tabletop Star Wars Armada. Only it's in 3D.
Those are so much fun.
And so like trying to point your ship in the right direction, you're having to flip the ship around to slow it down so that you can fire, and it's just a lot of stuff going into it, and I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, man. So we'll definitely get into all that tomorrow after Bandai Namco. We'll get to do a whole post show of what we thought of just E3 and everything, which hopefully Nintendo can deliver something akin to Microsoft, because if not, man, this C3's feel like as someone that took all 4 days off of work. I mean, I have vacation time, so it's not like I'm just, whatever, but I took all 4 days off of work to be able to do stuff for this and everything. And sometimes, I mean, it's sad that you feel like there's a lot of these showcases where like, man, I'm so disappointed after a lot of them. So hopefully Nintendo does not continue that track tomorrow. Until then, we'll see everybody. I still don't know if we're going to do a post show or not, if I can corral enough people that weren't on this thing to talk about other stuff, I guess. We'll do one. If not, we'll be here for Nintendo live reactions with some of the same people here. And until then.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you, Sean. I think you said you were going to be around for Ben and Enko tomorrow, so we'll see you then. Yeah. And, for Daniel, for Paul, for Randy, and myself, go check out that, go check out W10.com. Check out our other stuff on the YouTube channel. I made an E3 2021 playlist, so you can check out all of our stuff in there. Easy to go find. And, go check out that Video Against the Max podcast. And everything, Randy's going to have that Ratchet and Clank review up pretty soon. Until the next time, later, everyone.
Bye.